We will not be here long. Take your Bible, if you brought one, Philippians chapter 4. Just real quick, I'm even not even calling this a message, just a devotion as we come to the end of 2013. One of the questions during the trivia was to name five of the top 10 New Year's resolutions. Tasha named lose weight, stop smoking, save money, exercise more, be more patient, or be less angry. The other five, stick to a budget, find a better job, get more organized, eat better, and then just a generic be a better person. But I want you to look at verse number 10 in Philippians chapter 4, and I'm going to read two verses and talk to you about a resolution, a New Year's resolution that could be used across the board with anybody in this room. Beginning in verse number 10, Paul said, "But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content." And that's what I want to talk about for just a few minutes tonight. A New Year's resolution that really fits across the board is just being content. Being content. You know, if you're familiar with your Bible, you know Paul was a very learned man. He was instructed, he said, brought up at the feet of Gamaliel. Gamaliel was a Pharisee, and I don't think we really appreciate the degree of education that these people who were Pharisees, the degree of the education they had. Very learned men, spent all of their time studying. Gamaliel was a Pharisee. He served as the president of the Sanhedrin under the reigns of three different Roman emperors. He was the one in Acts chapter 4 or 5 when that council wanted to stone the disciples or beat them. He's the one that spoke up and said, "Hey, you know what? If this thing is of God, we can't fight against it." Remember that? So he's a very learned man, and Paul was brought up at his feet, okay? But the kind of learning that Paul's talking about in verse number 11, where he says, "For I have learned," the kind of learning he referred to in this verse cannot be acquired by instruction in a classroom. That can't be acquired that way. Discontent is as natural to man as weeds are to soil. You know, without anything done to soil, weeds come up as sure as the dawn slips over the eastern horizon. I don't know if you've ever had an opportunity in your yard to maybe fill a hole with some dirt, and you should really seed it with grass seed and take care of it. But, you know, you're in a hurry, you have no grass seed, but you want to fill the hole up because you don't want a hole there. So you throw some dirt over there. And you know, folks, it doesn't take any time. If you go by and look at that area, that hole that you filled up with dirt, without anything done to it, you know what's going to be springing up out of there before long? Weeds. Weeds are coming up out of the soil. And that's exactly what happens. Without any instruction whatsoever, man is discontent. It is natural to man to be discontent because of man's sin nature. Now think about it. The useful and beautiful things in the plant kingdom have to be cultivated. If you want corn, then you're going to have to plow the ground. You're going to have to harrow it. You're going to have to work it if you want corn, if you're going to get anything useful out of it. If you want beautiful flowers, the garden has to be mulched and it has to be fertilized. It has to be taken care of. And the beautiful characteristic of contentment must be learned. And it is not the product of classroom instruction or book instruction. In fact, in this passage here, it reads as if at one time Paul was not content because he said he had to learn contentment. And you have to wonder, how long did it take Paul to learn this grace? Because he wrote this letter from prison in Rome as he neared the end of his life. And maybe it takes that long to gain education concerning contentment. Because I think at one time he must not have been. He said, "I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content." I would guess that it takes learning what really matters in life and what's really important in life. It takes a while to realize that material things they're not really what creates contentment. Material things do not create contentment. Folks, if that was the truth, you would never read of a Hollywood movie star committing suicide. You'd never read of a rock star committing suicide. if things brought contentment. You'd never read of a professional football player in bankruptcy. But think, material, and you know what? How sad to have to go through that to learn that material things do not create contentment. You know, it's implied in these verses that material things do not create contentment. It's implied in these verses because in verse number 10, Paul talked about the things he had received from the church. He said, I really appreciate the things that you sent to me. He talked about that. Then he stated he was not complaining about having a little. And that's when he mentioned that no matter if he had much or little, he was content. He had to learn that. Now, I think this is a resolution that could work for everybody as we face a new year. Because here's the question. What's 2014 going to bring to you? And what's 2014 going to bring to me? Who can tell? Who knows the answer to that question? But whatever it brings, people, we can be content. And I'm going to tell you something. In a home, I don't know if there's a lot of great qualities that make up a great home, a godly home. But I don't know if there's one more important than the quality of contentment. This content can really bring stress into a marriage and into a home. It really can. It can bring unbelievable stress and pressure. Whatever this year brings, we can be content. This does not mean that we would never consider improving our situation or improving our circumstances. This does not mean that we cannot hope for a better job. I just had a session this morning with one of the good men in the church. And, you know, it's had a good year in 2013 in a job that he didn't really care for, but he's put his heart in it and he's worked hard and God has blessed him and he's already got one promotion and he's on a springboard right now that could really push him to quite a bit better financial position. And he and I rejoice together about that. And I don't think that's a sign of discontentment. I don't think desiring a better job or a nicer car or a more spacious house is a sign of discontentment. I don't think it means that. I think being content means this, that we are content with what we have until God gives us that better job, that nicer car, or that more spacious house. And if God never gives it to us, then we're still content with what we have. If He gives us, if we're eating hot dogs and we'd like to have steak, and He gives us steak, wonderful. But if all we end up with hot dogs, we're okay. If we drive a Ford and hope for it, excuse me, I'm sorry, let's not get off on that, amen. Can you believe, though, that one of the Payne boys is driving a Chevrolet? Yeah. And he took the whole Payne family for a ride in it. And conviction is starting in Brother Greg's heart, okay? And now I'm just teasing. But seriously, until God gives us the better job, the nicer car, the more spacious house, or whatever it is that we think, listen, whatever it is that we think, whatever that material thing is that we think, if we could just get it, we'd be content. Not true. Now, if God gives it to us, amen. But if He never gives us to it, then we're content with such things as we have. Paul was not complaining about not having very much. But you know what, according to verse number 10, when replenishment came from the church, he was happy to receive it. So this is not some weirdo, spooky mentality that says, you know, contentment is walking around wanting less than everybody else because that's some measure of spirituality. Having less than somebody else is no measure of spirituality. It's how much of it has you. If it's, you know, that a very little that some people have has them more than a very lot that some people have has them. That has nothing to do with material things, folks. It's how we are about it. He was happy to receive the help. He would not have been more spiritual had he declined it. But you know what? If it never came, he was okay. And that's what I'm talking about for 2014. Would you like something bigger, nicer, or better? If God gives it to you, amen. And if He doesn't, amen. I have learned, in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. So as I go through 2014, I would love for the Lord to help me develop the characteristic of contentment. Being content with such things as I have. And if God gives something bigger, better, nicer, wonderful, and if He doesn't, it's okay. I've already got far more than I deserve. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, thank You for Your book and just a brief devotion from it tonight for our hearts as we come to 2014 now in just about 3 hours. We pray that, Lord, You would help us to develop this beautiful characteristic of contentment in our hearts. Thank You for what Paul taught us in these verses, for this heavenly characteristic. Lord, I pray that we would have less stress and less pressure individually as families in the future throughout this new year because we've learned, been instructed, whatever state we are in, to be content. Bless us, I pray, tonight. Give us safety for the rest of the evening. I pray that You'll be with the food over the gymnasium. Bless it to our bodies. In Jesus' name and amen.